Thanks for listening to the PA Podcast. We're back today with Bill Linden for part two of his interview. And how you doing, Bill?
I'm good, Brian. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. So glad you wanted to come back for a second interview. We enjoyed the first one so much, and glad you're here.
I enjoyed doing it, too.
Well, thank you. I'm going to start off with a few, just the basic, they might seem corny questions, but I think it might be interesting for people because I didn't see them on your list necessarily.
Okay.
And they're general questions. And let me just start off because I think your fans might be interested, okay?
Okay.
Okay. My first question, what is your favorite food?
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers. A man after my own heart. He likes cheeseburgers.
I love them. I've had them coast to coast.
Do you have any particular one that you're really excited about? And well, is there a certain restaurant or?
Well, my favorite one is one you can't get in a restaurant. My buddy Boyd, he's my peacetime consigliere, and he's my very good friend. He, for my birthday one year, he made me some on a grill in his home in Oak Park, he and his wife Bonnie.
Yeah.
And that was, it was like caramelized onions and, I forget the cheese. It was brie or, there was some brie action going there with a toasted pretzel bun, and it was,
oh my God.
That was pretty darn good, I'll tell you.
That sounds good, buddy.
In Chicago, I like the ones from Miller's Pub or Exchequer Pub, Johnny Rockets, Billy Goats, of course, which was made famous by John Belushi in the Saturday Live
skit.
Right,
the cheeseburger, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and those are
and that's going to come up in our conversation.
Oh, okay.
That's one of your lists that I'm going to talk about. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think I know what you're going to ask, but I don't think I can answer what your question.
Well, so. You give it your best shot, okay?
I will. Yes.
I know you will. Okay. Now, what is your favorite type of music?
Oh, classic rock and roll, 60s rock and roll. 60s, early 70s. That's
again, a man after my own heart. All right. We're bang, bang, boom. All right. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm getting all these right.
What's that?
I'm glad I'm getting all these right.
Oh, I love classic rock. I love Motown, all the early 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back when music, it just seemed raw and real, you know, and very creative, don't you think?
Very. I mean, I was there live. You're a young man. You had to catch up with it. But I was there when it was happening live.
Yeah,
and
I caught up a little bit, right? But I was on the tail end of it, and I appreciate it so much. So.
It just was every, you know, these different bands every week, they would come out with just a new sound and new song. And
great.
My brother and I would just, it was great.
Exactly. Super. I'm going to I got one more of those little simple questions. I just thought it would be interesting. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Chicago, Illinois.
Rock and roll. He loves his Chicago.
I love my Chicago.
All
right. If I couldn't live in Chicago, I think I'd like to live in San Francisco. My wife and I went out there, and I just fell in love with the city. But as you found out from last week, last interview, I like to go to different places just to say I was there. So I had to go stand on the corner of Haight and Ashbury to check that off my list.
That was on your list, yeah. let's go ahead and go to that. How was that? You just went out there to stand? Just out there to see it?
Well, before we had grandchildren, we actually would take road trips and all across America. So
right. Coast
to coast, you know, we would do these trips and we would have a lot of fun. Now we go to Norfolk and Cheyenne, Wyoming to visit the grandkids, and our trips are gone. So it was just, you know, we would just like either fly and then take a road trip from there. And we've been all over America. We've put a lot of miles on our different cars and been to many nice places and met a lot of nice people.
Well, that's great. That's fun. That's very fun.
I have one story of the San Francisco that I always tell everybody. We stayed at one of these little boutique hotels, and the doorman, Don, he was great. I mean, he would tell me, this was before GPSs and things, he would tell me how to get different places. So the day before, we had been at Haight-Ashbury, and I bought a tie-dyed shirt and a tie-dyed shorts, and I wore them the next day. And I come bouncing in the lobby, and I go, guess where I'm going today? And he says, hopefully out to buy another outfit.
Oh, fantastic.
They've got a great show. It's called the Babby. What is it called? Oh, Babylon something. It was only supposed to be for 6 weeks. It was a show. They do parodies of songs and big hats and big costumes. And it's now in its 35th year there.
Is that all?
Beach Blanket Babylon. That's what it was called.
Say that again?
The show is called Beach Blanket Babylon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That sounds familiar.
And it was only supposed to run 6 weeks. Well, it's run 35 years now, and it's still running. And it's just a great show to go see. It's a lot of fun. For our San Francisco listeners, who I'm sure are aware
of. There you go. Excellent. All right. Hey, okay. I've got the first one off of the 50.
Okay.
And this is the one you may not have a good answer for.
Okay.
It was number 7.
Oh, okay.
I was kicked out of Billy Goat's one night.
Yes.
Note, this isn't as easy as it sounds.
Right, it isn't. It's almost impossible to be kicked out. Once again, that's the place that Belushi made famous in Saturday Night Live. They just want you to come in there. It's an old newspaper man hangout, and I was quite inebriated when I walked in there.
What did you do, Bill?
Well, I really don't think I... It's
Hey, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
You know, I think I'm going to pass.
Okay.
It involved a young lady, and all clothes are kept on, and it involved the floor, the dirty floor, and she were asked to leave. Is that okay? Without going into any more detail?
Film at 11. That's we'll leave it right there.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
We'll leave it right there. I just thought that was interesting. How did you kick out of there?
Yes, it's. Well, I found out how you can now. So that's...
Well, okay. At least I'm warned now. So
I'll tell you, being a palooza.
Okay. Okay, I saw this next one. I have sat in the bowl at the top of the Buckingham Fountain drinking margaritas at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yes.
First off, I'm not familiar. Where is the Buckingham Fountain?
The Buckingham Fountain is on, it's between Lakeshore Drive and Columbus Drive.
In Chicago.
Yes, and it's part of the Grand Park.
Okay.
And in the show Married with Children, it's the fountain that they show.
Okay, I know that
so
one.
Europeans say Bundy Fountain.
I know that fountain.
Yes, that is the...
You sat in the bowl?
I did sit in the bowl, yes. I was with three friends, two men, two women.
Oh, my God.
And a place that just opened up. I hadn't met Mrs. Bill yet. And there was a Mexican place that opened. They were giving free margaritas, and we got pretty drunk on those. And we did a trek to the Buckingham Fountain, like we're going to conquer Mount Everest. And we did. We climbed to the top of the... of the fountain.
Fountain quest, yes.
And it was off because it was done for the night, like 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And just sat up there like we were kings of the world. It was really great. Then we looked down to come back, and our knees were scraped and everything from crawling up there. And then we discovered there's actually ladders that are built into the fountain, that all we had to do was put the ladder up and climb the ladders up there. That we found on the way down, so...
Oh.
There's another thing for listeners too, if they want to try this, is do the ladders. It's a lot easier. Well, I think it would be a lot easier.
You had to do it the hard way though, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I'm glad we did. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you had fun. So that's all that matters. Number 16. I once lied to Jim Belushi and told him I was a fan of his work.
That's pretty much.
When did you meet Jim Belushi to tell him that?
I hope he's not listening.
I don't think he's listening to our podcast.
Okay. But my wife, do her job through the years, I would always go to these, I'd be at these black tie events, you know, I had my own tuxedo, and as long as I didn't tell anybody I was with her, it was okay. I could really talk to anybody. So,
right. I remember that.
Jim Belushi was at one of the, oh yeah, the Goldie Hawn story.
Right, the Goldie Hawn, yeah.
So we were in Chicago at Navy Pier at some black tie event, and he was out having a cigarette, and I went up to him and told him that, what a big fan of I was, and he thanked me, and we parted, and I go, Bill Linden, you, I was ashamed of myself, so. Jim, if you're listening, sorry, buddy. But you're not John.
Exactly.
You're not John.
Exactly.
And he was very nice to me, so yeah. I can't say anything bad.
Well, let's see. You say that your first car was a 1958 Ford that cost $95.
Uh-huh.
When did you buy that? What year? In 58?
No, it would have been like 64, I guess. My dad was a body and butter man, so he really loved cars, and it just was this, you know, crappy car at Barnes Auto on Pulaski Road. And
imagine a car for $95 today.
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
Right. You can't buy models. Models of cars cost $150 now.
You can barely buy a tire for $95.
Right. But he painted a two-tone for me. I had a dice cube as a gear shift knob and moon hubcaps. It was pretty cool. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got something here I agree with you on.
Okay.
Number 19. I love New York City, but it scares me. And I love New York City, but parts of it scare me. But
right.
I love the energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, Vegas is happening, but it's a fake energy. New York is real. It's just, you know, it's that Midwestern guy in me. You know, I love Chicago. I live downtown Chicago. And some people say, I would be afraid to do that. Chicago's big enough for me. But then New York gets overwhelming. So, But I've never had a bad experience. The people, you know, you read about snotty New Yorkers. I've never met one.
Me neither.
Everybody has always been nice to me, so I...
Now, number 20, you set an Al Capone cell in Alcatraz.
Yes, on the San Francisco trip. That is one creepy place, I'll tell you. Jeez. Oh, it freaked Mrs. Bill out. I mean, she just the whole vibe of this place threw her off. She couldn't wait to get off the island, as they say. Check it off the list. Been there, done that thing.
The list, history...
And, just all that history
movies.
And, you know, the movie The Birdman and all that stuff, those stories. And
it is. It's very strange going in there, though, isn't it?
Yes. I think it's still open, isn't it?
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it still is. Let's see, I got one here. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have
okay.
to. Because it could be a heavy one. I don't know. Okay, number 21. You said, I almost killed myself with a bow and arrow in Vietnam. So tell me what that's about.
This actually is one of my favorite stories of all time.
Well, I'm glad I picked it. Now I'll let you tell it.
All right. Well, I had 9 months to go in the Army. I was drafted in 67, and New Year's Eve of 68, I was sent to Vietnam. I spent New Year's 68 in Vietnam peeling potatoes all night long. They sent me to Quinyan. What was the other city in the Vietnam? Was the big city in Vietnam? Do you?
Well, I wasn't in that. I can't remember which one it is. Hanoi is the only one that stands.
Hanoi was the Vietnamese. Anyway, they sent me there as an illustrator. You know, because that was my MOS in Utah. Oh, when I was in Utah, I was lucky enough to be in Utah when the Army, with their nerve gas, killed 6,000 sheep at the Dugway Proving Grounds. You could check this on the internet. The Army killed 6,000 sheep, and Mr. Bill was part of the lucky people that had to go pick those sheep up, which, yes, it's just as disgusting as it sounds. So, well, anyway, I had nine months ago, and I get sent to Vietnam. I get sent to, as an illustrator, they say, oh, we have an illustrator, sorry, and then they sent me to Quinyan to open a service club for the enlisted guys so they could play ping pong or pool,
right.
Basketball. I would hand out different stuff like that on their free time.
Okay.
And then I would show movies every night out of an ammo locker, which was the sun was beating down on it all day, so you could see how unpleasant that might be.
Exactly.
Sitting inside here showing old movies. Well, and then I would sleep in the bottom barracks all by myself. I didn't have to share a bunk with anybody or anybody else. So I had the whole bottom of the barracks was the service club and my quarters. And one night I heard some scuffling, and I looked behind some boxes, and there's this big white rat cuddling around.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do with this? So I did take a bow and arrow, and I leaned over one of these tall boxes and shot it down, and it was a concrete floor. So I missed the rat, and it ricocheted and came straight up for my face, and I ducked, and it was twanging in the ceiling, which was wood. And I remember sitting down, I thought, oh, my God.
Wow.
My old man, was a very patriotic man, but if he had ever found out that his son had died in Vietnam of an arrow, self-inflicted arrow wound, that would have killed him, too. So there's the arrow story.
Oh, that's some crazy stuff, man. Thanks for sharing that with us, though.
You're very welcome. I still see that arrow coming towards my face.
Oh, my God. Hope I didn't bring up anything bad there.
Oh, no, no. It's one of my favorite stories because I survived.
Yes. There you go. I think I'm going to go to something more funny now.
Okay.
At least I hope it is. Number 24. I saw Woody Allen do stand-up at Mr. Kelly's in 1967.
Yep. Right before I went into the Army, he was doing stand-up. And it's like, and I, you know, I begged my mom and dad to take me, and they took me, and the three of us went, and it just was, Mr. Kelly's, which no longer exists. So it's just a great memory that, well, it also shows how old I am, too. But it was, you know, it's nice to say you were able to do that. So.
Oh, yeah. Where is Mr. Kelly's in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't
Chicago. Okay.
It was in Chicago, and it was like on the Rush Street area. So
how was that to see Woody Allen? Man, I wish I would have got to
see
Woody.
I was just a kid. You know, I was 18 or 19, and I just loved his albums, and I could do his albums verbatim. This is before the goofy thing happened with the daughter and all that, where I...
This is when
he was just a comic. You know, he wasn't even making movies then.
Exactly.
It was good to see him write it from the beginning there.
Oh, That had to be amazing. I envy you. I wish I could have got this. Oh, what other chaos can I throw at you here? Well, here's one that's close to my stomping grounds here.
Okay.
You said, I have been to Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth in St. Augustine, Florida, and it hasn't seemed to work.
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't worked for me either.
Oh, okay. That was one of those, you know, check it off the list things, just so I could say I was there.
It's a beautiful city, though, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's just one of the beautiful sort of cities. So you had that was just on your checklist, huh?
Right. Well, we were actually, I would go with Mrs. Bill on business trips, and if there was anything that should be on the list, then we would make it like a side trip. So that's how that one happened. Your rainstorms or something, I'll give you that. That was our most terrifying rainstorm in the car was on that trip, so...
That's Florida.
Yeah, man.
That's my life.
Nothing like that in Chicago, like that.
Now, I'm not a big sports fan, but I respect these names that you've got on here. It says, I have seen Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Stan Musial, Hank Aaron, Sandy Koufax, and Ernie Banks play baseball.
Right. That's with the Woody Allen. If you're old enough, all that stuff, you know, when I was a kid, you just took it, well, these are the people that are playing baseball now. Now, you know, they're all in the Hall of Fame. You go, geez, I was fortunate enough to be around in that era, you know? My brother and I, we wouldn't know that these people were going to be big stars and Hall of Famers. And
legends?
So, legends, right. So if you're around long enough, you see a lot of stuff.
So did you go to a lot of baseball games back in the day?
It wasn't Cubs versus Sox. We'd go to Cub games, we'd go to Sox games. It didn't matter to us. We just liked baseball. And
just enjoyed going out and enjoying the game. And well, that's cool.
And now there's no loyalty with teams. Oh, I really don't follow it that much anymore, but...
Well, okay, you said, I take great pride in having been named an honorary Soul Brother, an honorary Holton, and an honorary Sanders. Explain that.
Oh, these are just, in Vietnam, a African-American fella called me he made me an honorary Soul Brother, because I had soul, and then... the Holtons and the Sanders are two families that I know, and they have made me honorary members of their family. So
it's not like
I've been knighted or anything like that. Well, maybe with the Sanders, there was a crown involved or tiara involved with them, but we don't want to get into that right now.
You don't have a crown or a ribbon or anything like that?
I can't talk about that right now.
Honorary is a pretty big word out there.
Honorary is big,
honorary,
yes. It covers a lot of ground.
It covers a lot. I don't think I've been honorary anything. But, except an interviewer. Okay, here's another one that I think I know your answer.
Okay.
I think it's going to be if you've been around long enough.
Okay.
I have seen Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Liza Minnelli, Louis Prima, Joe Williams, and Mel Torme perform live. That's so cool.
I have. And yes, it's the being around long enough. But yeah, Frank reopened the Chicago Theater in I think it was like in the mid-80s. The downtown Chicago really had some bad times, and they tried to revitalize it. So they revamped the Chicago Theater, and he opened it. We were there. I think, you know, I was at Ricardo's drinking, and I said, I'm going to go over there. And it had started, and I got a ticket for like $5, a scalper outside for $5. Bucks. So that it was great. And then he came back with Sammy and Dino a couple years later.
How amazing.
That was the one Dino got in trouble for. He flicked a cigarette into the audience and went back home, and then Liza filled in for Dean on that tour. So
how was it to see Mel Torme? I mean, he's the golden throat. I mean,
yeah, he's just great. I love his records. So
the Velvet
Classic
Forester.
Rock is my favorite, but then these guys are my second kind of music, standard, swinging standard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're very talented people. It's amazing. They're legendary. Let's see here. Okay, I'm jealous of this one because I was on 42nd Street, but I didn't sing. Number 44, I have sung 42nd Street while walking on 42nd Street in New York City.
Yes, I have done that just to say that I did that. And one of the big things at Ricardo's, the bar I used to go to, the bartender used to love this because I would hop up on the bar, this is later at night, of course, and I would sing 42nd Street, and then my friends would tap dance with quarters on the bar, and it sounded exactly like they were tap dancing.
Oh, my God.
And then we would give the bartender all the quarters at the end of it. That's why he liked when 42nd Street kind of
thing. I think he would.
Yes, he really did. He looked... I don't know, he makes like $30 in quarters.
In quarters. Oh,
but that is quite a sound. We can't hit the quarters on the bean because they'll arrest us. The security is very tight at the bean. I always enjoyed doing that.
Oh, you had added one to this one. You said at a pre-Oscar brunch in Sherry Lansing's backyard, I looked down Kate Winslet's enticing cleavage. As she was sitting down brunching, I was not disappointed.
That's entirely true.
I assumed you weren't embarrassed either. You weren't embarrassed. You were just...
No, I wasn't, no. And she didn't see me do it, so that was good. And yes, they were Titanic worthy. And it was the Oscars when Titanic won. So it was the day before the Oscars, and Sherry Lansing was the head of Paramount. This is one of those other things where I could go wherever I wanted as long as I didn't tell anyone I was with Mrs. Bill. And I'm walking by with my plate, and I see her sitting there. And I said, I gotta do this. So I did. And didn't talk to her or anything, but it was quite lovely. Quite lovely.
There you go.
Now the listening audience is going to think I'm a perv or something like that. Oh, I'm sure they knew that a long time ago.
I can fix that with one last question. For the past 15 years, my bride and I have gotten remarried every year. Now, that's not a perv. That's not a perv. There's your Mr. Bill right there.
Yep, it's true. We've been married by a rabbi, a minister, a priest, an Elvis impersonator for our fifth anniversary. And because I am had a couple of friends that wanted me to marry them, so I became a minister on the internet, and I married them in Traverse City, Michigan, which is a very nice wedding in a movie theater. And they showed a 10-minute film of all these lovely moments, romantic moments in the movies, and then we all came on the stage. Oh, and the ushers were dressed as ushers, and they gave popcorn to people in the audience. And then we came out, did the wedding there, and it just was a great wedding. Oh, so then one of the, it was 2 years ago, I was the groom on New Year's Eve, and I was the minister. So I married, I would hop back and forth to the different places, and married Mrs. Bill and I think that was our 13th. Lucky 13.
There you go. See, you're not a pervert.
Okay, thanks. I'm a harmless
old man with a good heart. That's right. Why don't you kind of promote the bean? Go ahead and promote what the bean is.
Okay. Okay, great. Beanapalooza, I was on Facebook and I met all these people and I wanted to actually meet them in real life. So 2 years ago, Sue Amati gave me the name Beanapalooza and we have gone with that. And we got about 50 people from Facebook that showed up at the Bean. The Bean is a sculpture in Millennium Park in downtown Chicago. And it was like a 3-hour picnic. People brought their own lunch. And I said, well, I'm going to have Beanapalooza 2. And we did last year and we got about 85 people. And this year is Beanapalooza 3, which will be Saturday, June 9th from noon to 3 o'clock. The Chicago Blues Fest is on at the same time, so is the Old Town Art Fair. So it gives a lot of people to do after the Beanapalooza. So I thank you for the Beanapalooza plug. I'm hoping to crack the 100 mark on attendees this year.
I'm sure you will, Mr. Bill. Very good. And I thank you so much again for this part two of the Bill Linden interview.
You're welcome.
It's been great, and you're a gentleman, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll see you on the Facebook social network.
Thanks to Bill Linden for sharing his time with us. I want to give a shout out to the other members of the PA team, Father Brian Kilpatrick, Travis Cassidy, and Jenny Coe, a.k.a. Bony Fingers McGee, our producer. Take care and laugh a little.